It's Galatians 3, verses 1 through to 14. So Paul writes, encouragingly, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteousness will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. A huge congratulations to those of you who got baptized today. It's so exciting. It's such a privilege to be speaking this morning. And when Paul gave me my brief for this morning, he said, right, I want you to speak on Galatians 3. It's Pentecost, so I'd like you to speak on Pentecost. And we got baptism, so I'd like you to speak on baptism. And he said, oh, and by the way, you need to be as quick as you can. We're going to need a miracle. So it's going to dive straight in. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first half of Paul's key teaching on faith in Galatians. And he explains again and again that there is nothing we must do. There is nothing that we can do to contribute to our salvation. Our being made right with God is won totally and completely by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we take hold of what Jesus has done by faith. No good behavior, no religious duty can contribute one iota. Oh, look at that. So those of you who've been baptized today, you are saved through faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's all about him. He loves you. And he has done everything necessary for you to be with him forever. And that is really good news. But the incredible thing is, if my magic widget's going to work, that this is only the beginning. The good news of Jesus Christ is only the start of the good news. Salvation by faith alone in the atoning work of Christ is just the first step. It's the beginning of a wonderful faith journey into intimate relationship with the God who created us and who loves us beyond our imagining. It's the beginning of a faith adventure which he invites each of us to go on with him. And when the Galatians were saved through faith, the first thing that the Father did to make the journey possible was to give them a gift. Can anyone tell me what that gift was? The Holy Spirit. Brilliant. And the first thing is that we're saved by faith, but then also we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. And today we celebrate Pentecost. So I'm just ticking the Pentecost box here, Paul. Just today we celebrate Pentecost. And at Pentecost, as Paul said at the beginning, the church was born when the first disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And ever since Pentecost, when people come to Christ, he fills them with his Holy Spirit. So how do we receive the gift of the Spirit? Well, Paul asked the Galatians in verse 2, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? And God gave, oh, look at that, the Galatians the Spirit, verse 5, and they received the Spirit, verse 2, not because they were born the right people, not because they obeyed the Jewish law, not because they did good things, but simply by faith. And faith is so powerful. I think sometimes we can sort of constrict our views of who God is and the good things he wants to do can get so small. And one of my favorite things as a pastor in the States, who I refer to quite a lot, called Bill Johnson, and one of his favorite sayings is that God is better than we think, so we need to change the way we think. And so often we need to change the way we think about God because he is bigger. He is better than we dare to imagine. So I'd like you to think just for a moment of the woman in Luke 8, you know, who had the bleeding for 12 years. According to the Jewish law, she should not have gone out in a crowd. She should have stayed at home because she was ceremonially unclean. But she went and she found Jesus and she touched him. And what happened? In that moment, she was completely healed. She broke Mosaic law to get to Jesus, but it didn't seem to matter to him. And faith is so powerful, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. And when we're filled by the Holy Spirit, all kinds of amazing things begin to happen around us. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he doesn't only come to comfort and to guide us. The Holy Spirit is the dynamite power of God in our lives. Galatians 3 verse 5, Paul says this, so again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you have heard? And when the Spirit came, miracles followed. And the question is the same. How did God do these works among you? And the answer is the same. Not by works of the law, but through hearing with faith. So I guess sort of my 3 points on faith today. First is we're saved by faith. Secondly, we're filled with the Spirit by faith. And thirdly, we live by faith. Because being a Christian is not just about being good and going to church. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, that's what people think that the Christian life is about. And, you know, those are important things. You know, as we get to know Christ better, we want to become more like him. We want to our behavior to become more Christ-like, the way that we live our lives. But in a sense, our behavior changing flows from becoming more like, becoming closer to Christ. It's not an end. It's something that happens along the way. But so often we think it's the purpose, but it's not. You know, being a Christian is about going on a miraculous faith adventure with Father God. I hope. And Paul turns next in Galatians 3 to look at Abraham. And verses 6 and 7 say this, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And those who have faith are children of Abraham. And Paul shows that Abraham was made righteous solely by faith in the promise of God. It wasn't his faithfulness under trial that was important. It wasn't any effort of his own to keep the law that was important. It was faith. But what was it that Abraham's response of faith led to? Well, God took Abraham on the most amazing journey of faith. And what he said to Abraham is, look, I want you to leave your family and to come on a journey, an adventure with me. And what did Abraham do? He didn't go, do you know what? Actually, that's slightly outside my comfort zone. Because, you know, God never told him where he was going. He said, I just want you to start and I will guide you. So Abraham set out not knowing where he was going. He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, it says in Hebrews. You know, he had a humanly impossible child when he was too old, when his wife was too old. Abraham founded a nation. He became an ancestor of Jesus. But to do all those things, when God said, I want you to set out on a journey with me, he said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go. And he didn't know where he was going, but he trusted, he had faith that the Lord would take him and keep him safe. And Hebrews 11 shows what Abraham's faith adventure looked like. And it shows also what the faith of this adventure faith can look like for other people. This is Hebrews 11 verse 33. This is the kind of things that can happen if we are obedient to go on this adventure of faith with the Father. So this is, he's talking about the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice and gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. I think that sounds quite fun. I'd like a little bit more of that in my own life. But I mean, if I'm being honest about this, I do have to say it was not all easy. The next verse says this, some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. Now, if I'm honest, you know, I'm not so keen about the second half. But actually, if getting the first half means living through the second half, is it not worth it? You know, I love what Paul said at the beginning. You know, never let it be said that the Christian life is boring. You know, conquering kingdoms, being sawn in two, you know, it might at times be a little bit too exciting. You know, painful at times, but never boring. You know, say for those of you who've been baptized today, you know, for Gary, for Christian, for Peter, Emily, Daisy, sorry. You know, the Lord is calling you to this faith adventure with all its joys and sorrow, all its highs and lows. You know, his plans for you, his plans for your life are beyond your understanding. They're better than you imagine. You know, so Pete, when you said, you know, life begins at 40, your new life, it does. It begins at 40. And it's a better life that the Lord has for you than you ever dared imagine. But the thing is, if we never move out of the sphere of our own strength, could I have the next one? If we never move out of the sphere of our own strength, we will never see God working. And now you might come back to me and say, okay, that's great. You've been talking a lot about faith over the last couple of sermons. Fine, I get it. We were made right with God by Jesus, which we take hold of by faith. Fine. We're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. Fine. We release the miraculous by faith. Fine. We go on a faith adventure with Abraham, like Abraham. Fine. But do I have enough faith? You can have the next one. And Romans 12:3 makes it clear that God has given a measure of faith to each person. So the Bible promises that you have a certain amount of faith. And do you know how much faith is required? Well, in Matthew 17, verse 20, this is what Jesus said. He said, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Hello? Nothing. Nothing. You know, nothing takes in quite a lot. Nothing will be impossible for you. How much faith does it take? You know, I mean, if you've got faith, I mean, you've got a mustard seed. If you don't think that you've got enough faith to go on this faith adventure, you are believing a lie. You have got all the faith that you need. Because the thing is, it's not the size of your faith, but the size of your God that is important. How big is your God? Now, I don't know about you, my faith goes up and down depending on, you know, my tiredness, what I've eaten, how my week has been. My faith can waver based on circumstances, but he is completely unshakable. And if we worry about the amount of faith we've got, we can so easily become introspective. We just look inwards. We're always worried, you know, do I have enough faith? And we take our eyes off the faithful one. But if we want to go on this faith adventure with Jesus, we have just to keep our eyes fixed permanently on him, on the author and perfecter of faith. And we need great faith, but more faith does not come through religious observance. It doesn't come from trying harder. It's not like we can strain to have more faith. So we're like, I can't try harder to get more faith. I just give yourself a hernia. It comes through intimacy with Jesus Christ. In faith, we are invited into a partnership in which Jesus does all the heavy lifting. Can I have the next one? But there does need to be a willingness to step out into this faith adventure. Grace is opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to making an effort. And the more you look at Jesus, the more effort you will want to make. We've got some really good friends who are missionaries in Colombia, and they're absolutely brilliant. And they illustrated this as follows. Could I have the next one? And we all have a comfort zone in which we know where we are and we feel safe. And the next one. But actually, the Lord wants us to go. He wants us to learn. He wants to grow. He wants us to grow. And learning stretches us. And a key part of learning in the kingdom of God is taking risks. You know, as Christians, we are part of a faith venture. Faith is being certain of what we do not see. Can I have the next one? And if we're to walk where we do not see, there comes a point at which we have to throw ourselves into the unknown. God said to Abraham, leave your family and go on a journey with me. And he never told him where he was going. And Abraham said, yeah, I'm going. And he packed up his stuff, packed up his family. And one day he set off. He left behind everything he knew. You know, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter said, can I come to you on the water? You know, Jesus says, yes. And there was a moment when Peter just had to get out of that boat onto that water. I mean, I don't know, you know, when we were doing the baptisms today, you know, Paul and I did not have any trouble sinking into the water when we got in that baptism pool. You know, imagine what it was like for Peter when he stepped out of that boat. Every time he got in the water, every experience he'd had of getting in water up to that point had taught him one thing. When you get in, you sink. And they were quite a long way out and the water was quite deep. But Peter, you know, he took that step. And in the faith zone, we have to leave behind our human reference points. We only have God. And that can be really scary for us. It's so easy to keep looking at everything that can go wrong. And if we do that, we're tempted to retreat back to safety. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and keep going. And can I have the next one, please? Because it's only through faith, going through the faith zone, that we get into the miracle zone. You know, this is the place where God starts to be able to do what he wants to do, both in us and through us. This is where the faith adventure starts, where life moves from what we can accomplish in our own strength into him, into his purpose and his power. And God says, now I can begin to show you how much bigger my plan is. We've been incredibly privileged as a family to go on a number of faith adventures. And partly because of these friends we had in Colombia, we took a sabbatical a few years ago and went as a family to Colombia and lived in Medellin, which was at one time the sort of drugs capital of the world. And the whole thing felt a little bit crazy. And we were living in this huge tower block in Medellin. Our whole apartment was smaller than one of the rooms in our house. There was no hot running water, just cold running water. It was a bit of an experience. And at least we'd been there for sort of half our time. And then the people whose apartment it was said, we need you to move out like in a week. And we were like, oh my goodness, we're in a foreign country on the other side of the world. We don't speak the language very well. And now we have nowhere to live. We just really started playing about it. And they'd come up with some ridiculous plan that we sort of needed to go in a youth hostel for a week and then camp somewhere for a week and then come back and be in the youth hostel for a bit. And it's like, well, Bethy and I would be really happy to do that, but it's not really fair to drag our three children around. We prayed really hard. And we'd randomly met some people a few weeks before. And they came to Medellin to spend a day with us, and we did some teaching on inner healing, deliverance and stuff. And they said, do you know what? Well, we have this friend. And the long and the short of it was, they arranged for us to rent a much nicer apartment on the other side of town in this complex with a swimming pool and all kinds of nice things that we hadn't had before. It's amazing, that it was only when we got to the point of stepping into a place where we couldn't sort it out for ourselves that the Lord began to sort out stuff for us. We had a time a few years ago, Beth and I, when neither of us were able to work for various reasons. And it was just amazing that, I always heard these stories about people who, people give them, nice cars and sort of money and things like that. And I'd never experienced that before. But it was amazing. As soon as we really needed help, people started to give us money. It was weird. And it's like at the point that you have stepped beyond your resources is the point at which you start accessing the resources of heaven. But it takes stepping off the edge, going through the learning zone, and not stopping there. Moving through, jumping off into the faith zone and finding that you end up in the miracle zone. And fear tries to hold us back from taking risks and living by faith. But we need to be motivated by love, which is stronger than our fear, so we don't allow fear to stop us. Because if you want to get into the miracle zone, you have got to get out of your comfort zone. One of my favorite poemettes was written by C.T. Studd, and he wrote this. He said, "Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." And he went out to China. He was a top cricketer for England. He's an amazing man. And he went to live in China, to be a missionary in China. And the trouble is that most of us, most of the time, are happy to stay safe and comfortable within the sound of the church bell. Towards the end of his life, a man went to talk to someone about his life, and he said that when he was a young man, he'd been given a prophetic word that he would be a missionary, but it had never happened. And he said he was just so disappointed. And the person he was talking to just said really simply, "Well, did you ever buy a ticket?" And I think we can get so worried about what the will of God is for our lives. We say, "Lord, what shall I do?" And we don't really feel we've heard anything, so we don't really do anything. But we have a general permission from God to partner with him in the work of the kingdom. So our attitude, rather than saying, "Lord, show me," how about our attitude being, "Father God, Daddy, can we? Can we go on mission? Can we see that person healed? What kind of step of faith can you make? A step of faith in talking to others about your faith. A step of faith in going to pray for healing. A step of faith to go on mission." It could be so exciting, particularly for those of you who are just starting, who are growing in your Christian walk. Father God, can we? Can we do this? The law demands and bids us to obey. The gospel brings promises and bids us to believe. The gospel is not good advice to us, but good news about Jesus. It's not an invitation to us to do anything, but a declaration of what God has done. It's not a demand, but an offer. And being a baptized Christian is about being in an intimate love relationship with Jesus and going on a faith adventure with him to change the world around you. That is what is on offer to you guys who've been baptized today. That is what is on offer to every single person in this room. And we do this by being filled with the Holy Spirit. But as Christians, we cannot live only in what we understand. If we try and stay in what we understand, we won't grow, but simply travel the same familiar road. And that is the point where it gets boring. If we just travel the same familiar road, if we think that, you know, church is just being about the flower or being on the flower rota or something like that. It's really important that we are exposed to impossibilities that force us to walk where we cannot see. This is part of the Christian life. That's why it's called the faith. And a heart of faith is anchored in what we can't see, in the promise and the nature of God. And so today, Father God invites you, he says, will you leave your comfort zone? Will you come on a faith adventure with me? Will you jump into my arms? Will you come through faith into the miracle zone and see the amazing things that God will do in you and through you?
Thank you, James. Just picking up on a few things that James has said as we move forward and move towards the end of our service. I don't know how good you think God is, but he's better than we think. So we need to change the way we think. That was a bit of a challenge because, you know, and to go through our comfort zone, and I, you know, this is such a challenge for the church, isn't it? We love comfort. Everything in our lives, especially in the West, is built for comfort. Everything, the whole of our existence is designed around comfort. People sell us stuff constantly to be comfortable. And God says, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. That's not where I exist. I exist outside of that, in a place of challenge and excitement. And I think some of you were sitting there this morning and just felt, that's me. And I want to see some of those miracles of heaven in my life. And I need to get out of the comfort zone. And we'd love to pray for you this morning. We'd love to pray. There'll be a team of people over on this side that will pray for you, stand alongside you and just pray with you. Because I think some of you feeling, yeah, I'd love to see those things in my life. Why are they not happening in my life? Why am I not sharing about the greatness that God's done in my life this week? I've met with people, I've talked with them or whatever, and I've seen God at work. Well, sometimes it's because you're just not getting out of the boat. You don't want to get your feet wet. And you just need that. You need the knowledge and security of knowing that God is with you. And he's bigger than all of your problems. He's bigger than your fears, your worries, your need for reassurance. He's bigger than your need for affirmation from people. He's bigger than all those things. And if you respond to that, can I also challenge you, if you're responding that this morning, to go for prayer, but also to say, Lord, I want this week there to be one event where I can step out of the boat for you. Don't just say, I want the opportunity to get out, but like, actually go for God and say, I want the one event. Make it really clear this week, that one event I can get out of the boat and respond to you so that we can delight in hearing what that was next week. Also, we always offer prayer for healing here at because we believe God is a God who heals. He brings people out of sickness and restores them to health. And we want to step out the boat and pray for healing. So if you need God to heal you of anything, then we'll be delightfully praying for you over there. There'll be tea and coffee at the back over here. which will be served over here. Tea, coffee, squash over this side. Prayer for healing over that side. The bookshop's over there if you want to have a look at some of the books. There are some Bibles. I've had a bit of a clear out in my study. There's some Bibles over there. You wouldn't believe how many Bibles I collect. Of which there are various different editions. They're free. If anyone wants them, just take them. It might help you with your Bible study. It might help you if you're in your small groups or whatever. Just take them. They'd be great if they can go. The book's over there. Otherwise, tea and coffee at the back. Shall we stand as we close with the blessing? The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God Almighty. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. So go in peace and in the power of his Spirit to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Tea and coffee at the back over that side. Prayer over there.